It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Woman of the Year is a sketch comedy show currently on stage at Dad's Garage Theater in Atlanta, and it makes a pretty big promise to his audience to, quote, smash patriarchy right through the glass ceiling. Here to tell me more about that is Megan Leahy. She's the creator and co-writer of Woman of the Year. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So here's another descriptor that's on the Dad's Garage page. Mm-hmm. It says audiences should not expect Amazonian women preaching radical feminist politics. Why do you need that qualifier?
Well, I think for Dad's, it's historically sort of been a boys' club, as a lot of comedy has been. And one of the focuses for this show was that any Dad's audience could enjoy it. And unfortunately, sometimes if you say we have a show that's written by women and led by women, there's going to be some people who think that won't be funny, so I don't want to see it. So it was important for us to let the whole Dad's Garage audience know this is for everybody.
If it had been called Man of the Year, would women have not gone?
Oh, no, I think women would have gone. I don't think anybody would have batted an eye.
Now, you got to Dad's Garage in 2003, right?
Yes, around that, yeah.
And there were no other women?
There were a few other women.
Okay, but none in the ensemble?
None in the ensemble, none in the main core of improvisers at Dad's.
So how many are there now?
Now there are four in the ensemble.
Out of
19, I think. But in our also in our general company, we have a lot more women. There's
right.
Six
but four
or seven
out of
more.
19 still is not.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. It's not what we'd like it to be. But yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 51% of the population.
Right.
So you think 51%.
Right. We should be.
And this is kind of what we're going to be talking about here, mm-hmm. is why. Why is it so hard to get women into those positions?
I think when you have something like comedy where it is a boys' club and it's mostly men, it's going to attract other men a lot. If you see somebody that looks like yourself on stage, you'll go, I could do that. Okay, I could be this thing. So it's harder, I think. So the more women we have on stage, the more women we're attracting. And I think it's the same. It's at Dad's, at least, is in terms of like people of color. You know, the more diversity that we can show, the more diversity we'll attract.
But Woman of the Year is designed to do what?
It's designed to make people laugh.
And that's it.
On the artistic end, it was designed to give women at Dad's a chance to have their voice heard. We're all really smart, funny women there, fast, funny people. So I really wanted everyone to have an opportunity to say something and to write a sketch if they had written a sketch or if they hadn't written a sketch, just to give it a shot and see what happens.
I wanted to talk about your show's mission more in the context of the whole landscape of contemporary women in comedy. And we're joined now by two very funny women. Dulce Sloan is a stand-up comedian from Atlanta. She recently won the Stand-Up NBC Showcase in December, and she joins us now through Skype. It's good to talk to you again, Dulce.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for being with us. Gina Borecca is with us as well. She's a comedian and professor of English and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut. Hi, Gina.
Hello. What a great gang.
Yeah, pretty funny. Gina, yeah. let me take that question to you that I actually sent to Megan earlier, which is, why do you have to put qualifiers on a show like Woman of the Year? Why do we still have to do that to try to entice men to come?
Well, because men are terrified when you get five women together who are laughing. It is their nightmare. Women are afraid of violence. Men are afraid of women's laughter. One of the things that's at the center of that, of course, is the sort of male narcissism that we still encourage in our culture, which is the idea that if women get together, we're going to be talking about them, which is like really the last thing we talk about. I mean, we're talking about all of those really hilarious things like, the fact that there can't be a woman god because otherwise there would be no endometriosis. The fact that that women in positions of power that just as I was listening, saying that, yes, there are 4 out of 19. We're making great breakthroughs. I mean, there's so much to do. I mean, the position that women are in our culture is so absurd that it is hilarious, and that's why we need to bring attention to it.
And Dulce, how does this look like when you're doing stand-up? Because there have been some really depressing statistics. Somebody did a census of Caroline's Comedy Club in New York, which I think it's fair to say is one of the premier comedy clubs in the country, and less than 8% of their headliners were women in 2014. Why?
Well, I think it goes down to what like Megan was doing for her show, is that you have to explain to people, because the misconception is that women aren't funny, because there have been just enough women comics that didn't do well. Or, you know, what the professor was saying was that, you know, men are so afraid of women laughing at them that the idea of a woman being funny and laughter being created from that somehow can deflate their ego. But it's also, there are a lot of female comics because women aren't encouraged to be funny. So since women aren't encouraged to be funny, we're supposed to sit there and just laugh at a man. The idea of a woman becoming a comic is somehow rebellious, because, you know, you're supposed to sit there and be protected and just listen and laugh at whatever dumb thing he says. But when you want to go, I want to be the one saying the dumb thing, they're like, well, wait a minute, how can you even conceive doing this? It's the idea of a woman doing this is rebellious to men, or rebellious to society in some odd way.
So, but a woman doing anything is rebellious to society. I mean, the first woman who wanted to be, you know, the first woman who wanted to be a doctor, the first woman who said, I'm not only a cook, I'm going to be a chef. I mean, every time a woman opens her mouth and something besides a cooing noise comes out, it's a feminist gesture. I mean, if we're not going, it's like that damn feminist, you know, she just. And the idea, I want to go back to what you said about women not having a sense of humor. That a girl with a sense of humor is defined as somebody who laughs at somebody else's mm-hmm. jokes. For women to take right. our own agency to be the funny one is demand to be at the center of attention. And that's still what women in our culture are not encouraged to do.
Well, let me play you this comment, which many of you may have already heard from Jerry Lewis, the comedian, of course, who said female comedians bother him. This was a comment he made during a special tribute in 2013. Let's take a listen.
It bothers me. Just as I'm sure you see an actor or an actress that annoys you and you have no idea why. But I cannot sit and watch a lady diminish her qualities to the lowest common denominator. I just can't do that.
Megan, you're laughing at that.
Yeah, I am.
But I mean, that's a pillar. He's a legend.
Absolutely, but he's still wrong, I think. I mean,
are you careful about what you write for yourself?
No. We don't. If a man plays some sort of goofy creep on stage, we don't care. We think it's hilarious. And I want to play a goofy creep. You know, I want to play those same. I don't want people to find me sexually attractive when I'm on stage. I want them to find me funny. And I want to do whatever it is that I find funny that will also make our audience laugh.
Well, since you mentioned not being sexually attractive on stage, let's hear from Phyllis Diller. She obviously well known for a very eccentric stage personality and hairstyle. Here she is on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1969.
Would you believe that I once entered a beauty contest? I must have been out of my mind. I not only came in last, I got 361 get well cards. I don't want you to get the idea that I have given up on my looks. I will never give up. I am in my 14th year of a 10-day beauty plan.
Gina, do you look at comedians like Phyllis Diller and try to figure out why they broke through?
Oh, I this is what the first book that I did like 30 years ago was called. They used to call me Snow White, but I drifted. And it actually is both a history of and a consideration of women in comedy. That's exclusively what the book is about. And so I go back to people, not only like, you know, Phyllis Diller, who was great, but, you know, her predecessors like Sophie Tucker and Mae West, the women who really came out of vaudeville and burlesque and then turned the stage into a place where women could dominate, actually. But somebody like Phyllis Diller was actually a beautiful woman, and they made her managers made her go out there looking like a harridan. Because the theory was, and I believe that our current performers would back that up, what you just said, I don't want somebody to, you know, think I'm an erotic object, I want them to laugh, is that women couldn't be two things at the same time, that you could not be erotically interesting and attractive. And so that I'm a member of the Friars Club. I'm the only full-time academic to be, not only but a member of the Friars Club. And there is the old boy part of it, but also the women who have succeeded in comedy have succeeded because they've managed to make sure that when they were on stage, they're not being looked at, they're being heard. And that's very hard. We are still used to, in our culture, looking at women. Mm-hmm. And in some way, what Phyllis Diller did with a lot of women, Joan Rivers, is to make their so-called unattractiveness, they're actually very attractive women, the unattractiveness, the center, the heart, in the self-deprecating way, because the only thing women are allowed to do to make fun of in those days was themselves. Thank God, in the 70s, when you had, you know, Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner, and you had all of these newer, braver comics getting up there, women could start to make fun of the world rather than just ourselves.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about women in comedy. My guests are, you just heard, comedian and University of Connecticut Professor Gina Borecka, stand-up comedian Dulce Sloan, and Megan Leahy is the creator and co-writer of the sketch comedy show Woman of the Year. Dulce, let me play you a clip from Moms Mabley, a vaudeville performer, comedian, the first African-American woman to really establish herself as a stand-up comic. This is a clip from 1969.
It's the truth. I've been accused of liking young men, and I've got a reason, and I'm guilty. But Mom got broke, and the wintertime coming on, didn't have no money, and I married another old man. Older than the other one. Older than his birthday. And ugly.
Dulce, how does this become maybe more complicated or not as a person of color?
I think it's an interesting dynamic because I'm also as a woman of color, but also as a woman who doesn't fit that like binary definition of what beauty is because I'm a plus size woman. I am able to get away with things that my, you know, thin white female counterparts can't get away with. So when you're thinking of like, because when I started, I was told by, you know, a couple of older male comics, it was like, oh, well, you can't really be pretty and funny at the same time because, you know, men won't pay attention and women will resent you. And I found the opposite to be true. I wear I wear very revealing clothes on stage. I have a joke about a $100 bra that I wear, and my bra is very prominent on stage because I have very big boobs. My bras are very expensive, so I'm not covering them up. that's the joke. I wear a lot of lace stuff just in life. I'm not covering this bra. It costs $100. You are going to see this bra. So, but so yeah, I can get away with more. I can do a better commentary on, you know, what's going on because I can point at white men and say you're doing this. I can point on white women and say you're doing this. And, you know, when they look at their society through or their existence through my eyes, it's like, well, we are doing this. We are touching their hair. We are saying things to them. We are doing this. But it's an interesting thing because, you know, I know some girls out of New York, Katie Hannigan and Corinne Fisher, they're doing a show they did at Fringe NYC of the Comedian Project. And what they challenged themselves to do was to write material that was not related to men at all. They took that completely out of the equation. And so a lot of the other female comedians saw that. And you're like, you think about, you know, the number of times you're on stage, you're like, oh, you're talking about dating or something that happened with a man. And they challenged themselves to talk about everything else but that. And I think it was an interesting challenge for them to make for themselves and also for other comics to do because we fall back on the old trope. Like, dating is hard. Like, everyone who's ever met a human knows that. So, right. Like, oh, I'm only going through this right now. Boys suck. Everything's great. But,
yeah,
you know, I try to pay attention to that, but I also try to make sure that, you know, because they're still, because when they do comedy shows where it's a bunch of women on the show, you get shows that are called like Last Show of the Month or Ladies Night.
Yeah. Well, Gina, let me put this to you. I want to play this comment from Sarah Silverman. This is from a PBS documentary.
It's funny because the last relic of it being hard for women in comedy is the question, what's it like being a woman in a man's world? And you go, oh, that question is the last thing left of it because women run comedy.
And yet that's not actually true. I mean, the statistics, everyone's surprised by the statistic that only 7% of the members of the Directors Guild are women. But when you look at comedies, of the top grossing 20 comedies in the past 10 years, only 9 of them were directed by women. That's 4.5%. So when it comes to comedy, it's worse than it is even
absolutely
in general.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's terrific. I think that Sarah Silverman is out there, I mean, not actually making the argument that, you know, women are now running the show. Really, I think she's more thinking that women are the ones who, you know, making the best comedy, making the most creative work out there, but certainly not translating into box office or into power, into being able to initiate shows to get green lights on projects. And that is what we need to be doing. We need to be looking not just at, you know, the movie with the one funny role. It's the Bechdel test?
Yeah, Bechdel test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, where you've got two women talking to each other about something that doesn't have to do with a man.
Yeah.
And that, like, oh, no movies do this.
Very few, right.
And so that, I mean, finding women's voices and finding our laughing voices is very important, because women laughing really does topple the patriarchy a little bit, you know, sort of one laugh at a time. And only false gods are laughed off their pedestals. That was Agnes Repplier, 150 years ago. That the mockery that a woman can answer, because we are all of us outsiders,
right?
And to be additionally outsiders by being of color, by not having perfectly sculpted bodies, by being anything that's different, just by being smart
We'll have to end it there, Gina. That's Gina Borecka, comedian and professor of English and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut. Megan Leahy is creator and co-writer of the sketch comedy show Woman of the Year. And Dulcie Sloan is a stand-up comedian. Woman of the Year, by the way, runs through March 12th at Dad's Garage in Atlanta. You can learn more at dadsgarage.com. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.